find out from you. What has been the impact? What have you seen after you have been treatment? Can you say that you have changed your life and for yourself as well? Something that you take away from you.
Something also respond to that. I mean, but from my own perspective, telling my own story, I think I got insight into something that I didn't understand before. And showing the story to other people who are significant in my life was incredibly powerful. Just in terms of them understanding who I am, the motivations for what I do has been very powerful. Another experience was the workshop that we ran for women survivors of violence in Pakistan. It's a very different context to what we understand here. And the women were incredibly brave in telling their stories. And the impact that the one story had was we finished on the Friday, and on the Saturday we went sightseeing, and the phone of the person who was hosting us did not stop ringing from women saying, "I finally managed to show my father my story, and he understands why I had to leave my husband and why I took my son with me." And another woman who said, "My mother finally understands why I refused to get married." And you know, so there was this, there was a lot of healing within families. I don't know of any negative impacts, but potentially there could be, and I think one has to be very careful. I mean, even screening these stories, you can feel in the room, it's tough. So I think you have to be aware of, you know, when you show it. I think in terms of showing stories to policymakers, it's something we really would like to do, because I think there's something about telling a story, or a story told by someone who knows what they're talking about. It's incredibly powerful. So that's what we always fantasize about doing. So it feels like we need to, it's not about taking it to a different level, it's about showing it in to different audiences in order to enact change. And I mean, the African Decade for People with Disabilities, Sally and I helped out, ran a workshop for the African Decade for People with Disabilities. And each story that was told, there were people living with disabilities, parents of children living with disabilities, and they each took a section of the Charter, the UN Declaration on People with Disabilities, and what aspects they wanted, and that was very powerful as well. So hopefully that's going to show people. I mean, Uchenna made, who's got cerebral palsy, she made her own story, you know, so it's not like you have to, you know, it's a very powerful workshop. So it has shifted things for people to actually show that they can use the technology.
I think there needs to be an acknowledgement, though, that everybody has an intention when they're doing a digital stories workshop. You know, we have an intention to expose an issue. The people coming to the workshop have an intention or a need to tell a story. And in that process, you have to find ways that everybody gets their needs met in some ways. And there's, of course, some needs that are more important than others, and safety is one important thing. So if a person's participation in a digital story workshop doesn't depend on them saying we can use their story, you can choose at the end of the workshop to go home with your DVD and no one else has a copy of that story at all. But I think the other important thing is to ask storytellers who come with what story. We all have thousands of stories, and some people struggle to find just one, and others struggle to find even one. You know what I mean? So you need to know that what is the story that's most important for me to tell in this moment of my life. Because you do. I don't know whether anybody's had a diary when they were much younger. Now, have you ever read your diary when you were much younger? How do you feel when you read your diary from when you were much younger? Oh, you have some mixed feelings, like you're a little embarrassed, and you're a little like, oh, did I really say that? Did I? So sometimes I worry that digital stories are kind of like that. They're your story frozen in time, your moment frozen. And I ask Rosie this question all the time. How does she feel about her story now. It's been 5 years since she made her story. And actually, you know, she has moments where she's like, you know, I would have changed this or done this or, you know. But she feels like it's important for her story to be there, to exist. And those of us who either have experienced what she's talking about or who are working in NGOs and hear stories need to know that that there is an effect on you as a person. And for her, that was important for her to tell, as well as her anger at the fact that she lives in a country that claims to be free, but that women are not free. And that came through at the end of her story. And I think Zoise was the trial of the people who murdered Zoise has just been finalized and they have been released. So that's also another reflection for us 5 years down the line after she made that story, what has changed. So yeah, there's a whole lot of intentions in the process that you need to mediate and that you have to figure out how you negotiate. The stories have been used in lots of different contexts, in training contexts, and some people have decided that they don't want their stories to be publicized at all, but have taken their DVD home to show to family or to someone they care about as an experience.
The actual DVDs in terms of awareness raising, advocacy, and so forth. Then we'll show a short excerpt of our movie, about a 5-minute excerpt, and then Tertia, one of our participants, will speak about her experience as having participated in the process. Also, just to say that I also attended one of Sally's training sessions, and it was awesome. Really, it was. For me, I also went in there feeling I don't have a story important enough to tell. And the process was so therapeutic for me at the end of the day that it's something that I will hold very, very dear. And I think that telling the story is part of the healing process. It really is. Okay, just a little bit about the background of the Our Project. I attended the AWID conference in 2008 mm-hmm. and attended one of their workshops on digital storytelling. And throughout the session, I could see this, how we at the center and the shelter here could actually use the digital storytelling process to assist and empower the women in our center. So I was very happy when the following year they called for proposals for seed funding for an idea that stemmed from the AWID conference. We applied and we were successful. And with that money, I think it was $5,000, we bought a video camera and two stills cameras, and we set about making our first DVD, which is Women of Strength. Women of Strength was a four-day workshop, and we just felt that, you know, we actually needed something that really was a longer a recording process. You know, we just felt that the stories would have been so much richer, and that that would be more nuanced, the stories, and that is how the idea of the digital diaries was actually born. We then also applied for funding from TBTT Small Grants in 2010, got funding, and made our next movie, which was Beyond the Shadow, and that was a three-month long process, and definitely was more sort of much more powerful, I think, the stories were. Our desired outcomes when we set up on the project was that the process would be cathartic for the participants, that it would help with the healing process, that it would also empower and increase agency of often voiceless women and other vulnerable groups, and that it would also provide a platform for sharing stories to raise awareness about gender-based violence. It would also empower the participants with computer and film-making skills. Also, we would be providing support and encouragement for the participants, and also that the completed DVDs would assist others in similar situations where they can actually identify with, know that there's help, and know that they can, well, just basically identifying with the process. Also using technology strategically to fight gender-based violence. And then lastly, to help us evaluate our services, to see through the women's stories what we're doing right and what we could be doing much better. The actual process, I'll just speak very briefly to the process, was facilitated by Shelley Barry of Two Spinning Wheels. She did the video training, editing training, supervised and facilitated the whole process, and she also did the post-production of the films. The first one, Women of Strength, as I said, it was a four-day, took the form of a four-day filmmaking workshop. Seven residents participated, and the shelter counselor of the time. Very briefly, there were many aspects to the actual process, but just very briefly, it started off by them watching other people's movies. Amongst them was gender dynamics, I think, that Sally helped with, and also Shelley's stories herself, her life stories, which were very powerful as well. The group watched and commented and you know, took in what they were seeing in terms of technique and filmmaking techniques and so on and so forth. And then we were required to form a storytelling circle, which was very, very emotional. I don't think that in both of the diaries and the stories, I don't think there was anybody left with a dry eye, because as they went around the room, everybody's, as you said, everybody's story is unique, and it's equally touching. So that was, and of course, with the stories, we had a counselor. She was one of the participants, so she would do the containing the situation as the need arose. There was a short training course in how to use the video and the cameras, and also with basic filmmaking and editing skills. The women were then required to draw up a storyboard where they scripted their stories. That was for the short one, and the stories, digital stories. Then the diaries, Beyond the Shadow, was a three-month process. Eight residents, and then the process to a point was the same. We also watched other stories, had the story circle, the storytelling circle. We didn't do a storyboard with the diaries. There was weekly they started recording immediately, basically. So there was weekly training where Shelley would come in once a week, provide training in. It was a more in-depth training, as it says there, and we did quite a bit of theory. So her weekly visits would include a training session, and then we would do some filming. Further than that, the women recorded either on a daily basis or how they felt, just as they desired. And some would film once a week, others would film three and four times a week, and just that's how we also. They were also able to take the cameras home, not home with them, but to use it after hours, which was very useful. And I can tell you, we're going to talk about the filmmaking process just now, but there was so much creativity that came out. It was quite amazing. Some of the women were telling their stories in its entirety for the first time, and I think that was really great. That helped a lot, I think, because so many of the participants said, you know, this is the first time that I'm telling my whole story. Even though we didn't record we didn't use the whole story, because there was hours and hours of recording material. And obviously they express their emotions and experiences in their own words and in their own way, as Sally was saying earlier on, and that is the importance and the strength of the digital storytelling process. With the stories, the four-day one, the participants assisted with the filming. Shelley did a lot of the filming herself, but they certainly worked in pairs and assisted with the filming. With the digital diaries, the filming was done mainly by the participants, because a lot of it, because of the nature of it being diaries, they would let themselves into the room and they were shown how to record themselves. So a lot of it was done with just themselves in the room, or some of them preferred to work in pairs. But amongst them, they did most of the recording themselves, and it was very, very traumatic. I mean, I remember that one of the participants in particular, every time she did a recording, and when we chose the participants, we said that we hope for them to have been here for a little while already, so that it's not so raw that they haven't just freshly come out of the abuse. But at the end of the day, 10 people applied, and we accepted everybody. And the one person that had come up very freshly from her abuse, she was here for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. And she, every time she did a session, she would literally break down, but she wanted to continue. And she felt that this process was so good for her. But we always had a counselor on standby, so every session she would definitely, you know, the counselor would be called in. The editing was done mainly by the filmmaker due to time constraints. Everybody was shown the basic editing techniques, but in the end, we just ran out of time. So, you know, Shelley did most of the editing, except she worked very closely with the participants. So every step of the way, they had control over what was told, how it was told, and how they were represented in the actual movie, which was very important. The impact that we saw on the participants is that they visibly grew in confidence and self-esteem. So she will speak closer to what it meant for her. Participants described the process as being therapeutic and cathartic and helping with the healing process. And they formed close bonds, especially those that worked in pairs. And I think they remain friends, close friends up until today. Most of them have left already, left the shelter. And of course they gained computer and filmmaking skills. And there were requests for the process to continue, you know, whether we make a DVD of it in the end or not, but just as a therapy for it to continue. So that's something that we're going to work towards. The impact on the audience is we had a few launches, and we had several other screenings. Generally, it was well received. And I think audiences, or rather, they expressed that they were sort of struck by the powerful stories and the way in which they were told. As I said, they're the raw emotions, and also the willingness of the participants to share their experiences in order to help other people. Education and awareness, we use it for. The Psyche Bartman Center and other NGOs such as NICTAM use it for training. It's also been used at Temple University, Philadelphia, New York University, and also in our Psyche Bartman Center outreach work we use it. We believe that women's voices and stories are central to meaningful advocacy, and we would like to distribute our DVDs as widely as possible. But as we were saying earlier on, we do have a responsibility, and unfortunately, we can't just sort of show it everywhere and distribute it everywhere. So there's that kind of tightrope that we have to walk, because everybody but two of the participants wanted their faces blurred out, which we've done, but their voices are recognizable. So, you know, even though they agreed to have, we can show it here and there and everywhere, the responsibility is ours, I feel, to actually protect it, not to put on national TV, because the kids may be sitting there one day and, you know, they're watching it, or whatever the case may be. So we had launches at the Lobby on Kloof and Orange, and at Eerstebegin, that's our shelter in Worcester, on 16 Days of Activism in 2009 and 2010. In 2011, where we had a launch on National and International Women's Day. We also have shown it at several conferences and other GBV forums. It's been screened in France, Germany, Norway, and I know that Chile has screened it at various local and international conferences or meetings. We've also had media releases and several radio and TV interviews about the DVDs. And then Shetzen, Shetizen, Citizen Journalist website asked if they could put it onto their website. So in terms of marketing, it's more profile raising. I think we showcase the center with the DVDs and to our funders and prospective partners. And that's about it. And just to say thank you to African Gender Institute, UCT, AWID, and Take Back Tech, and Women's Net for facilitating the funding process.